You're here today, especially those that are visiting with us. We have Chris here today, Michael here today, as well as maybe others that are visiting with us. We're certainly glad that you're here. And we know that you'll come back when you have the opportunity. We have a lot of people that are sick today, a lot of things going around, viruses. They say it's a late flu this year, so be careful concerning that. Always wash your hands and be careful concerning that. Also, Charlie, he's had quite a difficulty over the past few days. Maybe he's starting to turn the corner now. You might call before you go and see him. If you go and see him down at Jewish Hospital, that's where he is at this time. He's been quite sick the last few days, so maybe he's over that by this time. In John, the 11th chapter, that's where we'll start this morning. In John chapter 11. We want to continue our subject that we started last week concerning the characters in the shadow of the cross. And today, as last week, we talked about Pontius Pilate. Today we want to look at a man named Caiaphas, who is the high priest. But before we do that, we want to introduce the context as to what is occurring at this time. A few days before this, the people tried or wanted to stone Jesus to death. They had asked him the question about whether he was the Messiah or not. They thought that his answer was blasphemy, and therefore they decided that they wanted to put him to death. As we enter into John, the 11th chapter, Jesus' popularity has gone down considerably. He was very popular when he was feeding the 5,000, when he was feeding the 4,000. But when he told them that you have to be consumed with me, that you don't have to be consumed with what I'm feeding you, you have to be consumed with me, then people started to fall away and started to leave Jesus. After that, in the middle of his ministry, he even gets to the point where he starts to use parables. And they ask some questions about why Jesus was using parables. When we get to John, the 11th chapter, and by the end of John, the 11th chapter, the popularity of Jesus has just blown up again to where many people are following him. This is just a few days before he is crucified, and there's going to be many followers when he rides into Jerusalem, on that Sunday morning. But as we look at John, the 11th chapter, we see now there was a certain man sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, and whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sister sent word to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." And when Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness is not to end in death. For the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. And then after this, he said to them, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples, they had already dealt with the fact of them wanting to kill Jesus just a few days before. The disciples say to him in verse 8, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. This he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go that I may awaken him out of sleep." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So then Jesus told them plainly, that's what you got to do sometimes to people, "Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. And let us go to him." Therefore Thomas, who is called Didymus, that meaning the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." We see in verse 17, so when Jesus came, he found that they had already been at the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. She wasn't busy taking care of the household needs here at this time. She ran out to meet him. But Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." And when she had said this, she went away and called Mary her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here, and he's calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and were consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him, fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping. And he was deeply moved in spirit, was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Verse 35, Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying?" So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it, and Jesus said, "Remove the stone." And Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone. And then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I knew that you always hear me. Because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me. And when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Then in verse 45 and 46, it says, therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed him. And some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. Well, enter Caiaphas. Who is Caiaphas? Well, he's introduced here in chapter 11, after the raising of Lazarus from the dead. We see that Caiaphas was a high priest of the Jews. A high priest of the Jews. His wife was the daughter of Annas, who was the Jewish high priest. In Luke and in chapter 3, and in verse 2, Luke chapter 3 and in verse 2, Luke 3 and in verse 2 it says, and the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John the son of Zacharias in the wilderness. But the Jews were not an independent nation. They were controlled by the Romans. In fact, the Romans controlled everything. And they were going to control the high priest as well. Although the fact the Jews, they held the high priest in high esteem. We see that during the time that Annas was the high priest, the Romans, they appointed 5 of Annas' sons as high priest. He started in 14 AD as high priest. We see one of his grandsons was appointed as high priest. And then his son-in-law was appointed by the Romans. And each one of these appointments was made for 1 year as high priest. In fact, when you get over to Peter and John after they healed the man at the gate called Beautiful, that Caiaphas is still high priest. It's only been a few months since Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead, and the church has been established. And when they go before the Sanhedrin, Peter and John and the rest of the apostles, Caiaphas is still high priest. His year hasn't run out. Also, we see something else here about Caiaphas. He is the president of the Sanhedrin. He's the leader of the Sanhedrin, which you might consider the highest court of appeals for the Jews. There were 71 members. There were 70 members. When we think about the Sanhedrin, normally we think about 70 members, but really 71 with Caiaphas. And also he was a Sadducee. There were going to be problems in this group because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees did. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they made up the Sanhedrin as well as the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. The Sanhedrin, they would meet every day except the Sabbath day. And they would not meet on feast days. And it's interesting as you study the trial of Jesus, You began to understand in Jewish law that the Sanhedrin had to meet during daylight hours. Before the Romans took power, the Sanhedrin, they could inflict capital punishment. But now they could not. Caiaphas, in John chapter 11, we see that Jesus raises Lazarus some 2 miles away from Jerusalem in a little town called Bethany. That's going to be his headquarters many times during his ministry. We'll go ahead and read here a few verses regarding this. It says, so the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, what are we to do? For this man performs many signs. They had been dealing with this question for some time when they wanted to stone him before. Some of the Jews said, this man has a demon. And somebody else with the Jews said, well, can he do these miracles? Can he bring sight? Can a demon bring sight to people? When they were talking about the blasphemy of Jesus before. It says verse 48, if we let him go like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. The idea really is, what if Caesar hears about this? If Caesar hears about this, and if this man can raise somebody from the dead after 4 days militarily, how great would that be to have Jesus Christ on the side of the Romans? People die in battle all the time. But if you had a man like Jesus Christ come along and say, okay, you've been dead for 2 or 3 days, you're raised from the dead now, how important would that be? They were concerned greatly about this. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. Verse 49 and 50, same context here now. It says, but one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all. You see his arrogance here concerning that of the Sanhedrin, the ones that supposedly knew the law. He says, you know nothing at all. Nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. What's he saying? Verse 50, he's saying Jesus Christ is expendable. We can go ahead. We can put him to death. So in 50 and 51, or 51 and 52, it says he did not say this of his own accord, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who were scattered abroad. A twofold prophecy. One, that it was going to be murder for a political end. They needed to squash this as soon as possible. And especially after Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding on that colt and goes in and drives the money changers out. The money changers are the Sadducees. Understand that. They control the temple tax. They control the money. That's when they really decided to put him to death, when he drove those money changers out. The murder was for a political end. But not only that, but that Jesus' death was God's great sacrifice for the sins of the world. Remember verse 52, he says, but also together into one, the children of God who were scattered abroad. The greatest crime here in part one turns into the greatest blessing for the sins of the world. In 53 and 54, it says, so from that day they made plans to put him to death. Jesus, therefore, no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there to the region near the wilderness, to a town called Ephraim, and there he stayed with his disciples. So now I'll take you to Caiaphas at the trial of Jesus, very quickly. In chapter 18 of John chapter 18, and in verse 12, it says in verse 12, John 18, so the Roman cohort and the commander and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus, bound him, led him away to Annas first, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. In John 18 and in verse 24, John 18 verse 24, it says, so Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now we go to Matthew chapter 26 and in verse 57, it says, then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered together. Verse 59 through 61, now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last two came forward and said, this man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. Then in chapter 26 and verse 62 and 63, you witness an interaction between the Jewish high priest and the eternal high priest. The high priest stood up and said, do you have no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? Jesus remained silent, and the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, you have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. Matthew 26, verse 65 says, then the high priest tore his clothes and he has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. Over in Leviticus chapter 21, though, in Leviticus chapter 21, and in verse 10, Leviticus 21 and in verse 10, it says the priest, who is the highest among his brothers, on whom the head of anointed oil has been poured, who has been consecrated to wear the garments, shall not uncover his head, nor, it says, the high priest cannot tear his clothes. They broke the law of Moses. What is your judgment? They said he deserved death. They spit in his face, struck him. Some slapped him, saying, prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is that who struck you? Well, my time has quickly gone by. But the question is, what can we learn from this? Two things. First of all, we can learn that there is no end to serving our self-interest. They were blinded to the truth. They went over the prophecies over and over again and were still blinded to the truth, even to the point that truth was right in front of them, standing right in front of them. And they were still blinded to the truth. So we see no end to serving our self-interest. And secondly, self-interest can sear a person's conscience to the point that these 70 plus one, except for maybe Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, their consciences were seared. They didn't see anything concerning Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. They were enjoying the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. They were complaining about it all the time, but still they didn't want to do anything about it. And one of the things that they needed to do was to get rid of Jesus Christ. And that's what Caiaphas wanted to do. But there again, he says, it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. And that was the attitude of this man. We'd encourage you this morning, if you need to respond to the gospel in any way by being baptized into Christ or coming back to your first love, we invite you to come now while together we stand and be sinned.